New Galaxy Broadcasting proudly presents Integrative Hermetic Health with Hugo Rodier, MD. In this program, we explore a powerful new paradigm for health from the standpoint of integrative medicine. In his practice, Dr. Rodier integrates the ancient Hermetic art and the enduring role of food as medicine with modern nutrition, but also allowing for the wide range of important health practices, including truly valuable medical discoveries, chiropractic, acupuncture, homeopathic and herbal medicine. In this program, Hugo Rodier, an expert in intestinal health and nutrition, will help the audience discover an approach that focuses on actual cures, not the masking of the elegant simplicity of many health solutions for the sake of profit. Profit too long has been an overriding motive of the pharmaceutical companies, and sometimes, sadly, by many in the medical establishment today. Welcome to the Integrative Hermetic Health Show. My name is Johnny Bluestar. I'm assisting our host, Dr. Hugo Rodier, an integrative health physician, in presenting and producing the show for New Galaxy Broadcasting. Good morning, Dr. Rodier.
Good morning, Johnny. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Today, we're going to examine the element mercury, an omnipresent element found in water, soil, and air, everywhere. There are various problems with mercury in the environment because of mercury's toxicity in a few different variations. Some of the claims about the health effects of mercury are controversial, such as dental fillings and in vaccinations, but others are not. Dr. Rodier will help us cover some of these issues in this program, but let's begin by looking in general at the potential effects of exposure to mercury by human beings. Dr. Rodier?
Well, thank you, Johnny. Let me start by telling you what I first heard about mercury in medical school. Five minutes in the arms of Venus and an eternity in the arms of Mercury. We thought it was pretty funny, but that was the extent of the education I got on Mercury in medical school in the 80s.
Oh, really?
And as you gather from that pithy saying, is that we've known for quite a long time that mercury suppresses the immune system. So they used it for the treatment of syphilis and other sexually transmitted diseases.
Wow.
Like people getting infected quite badly back then, but then the mercury itself created all kinds of problems. And then I didn't hear anything about mercury until I myself had to study the issue, and I began to read in very good journals that it is a huge problem. Before we get into the details of mercury toxicity and all that, let me just briefly explain a very important concept, because this is a Hermetic show. And Hermes, it's Mercury. So the very name of the show encourages us to look at a global picture of an issue, not in isolation, as Hermes would say himself, the god. And so it's all about energy. That's what Hermes is all about, the harnessing of environmental energy that ultimately comes from the sun, and then we harness that through photosynthesis from plants, in plants. Mm-hmm. And there was a great article about that in the journal Science last month, Bioenergy is called. Okay, so we begin to see that the environment then, and how we harness energy at all levels, our food, our energy production to fuel our societies, our cars, our engines, have a huge impact on how we ourselves process energy and in our genes and our ability to do so. So that's where epigenetics comes in. And by now, people are familiar with epigenetics. You remember that, right, Johnny?
Yeah, well, it's very interesting. I don't know
if
some of the directions in the popular version of epigenetics are so useful. But
in a nutshell, epi means above genetics. So what's epigenetics? It's the very concept well documented, and there was an article in the journal Nature Medicine last month about this whole thing. Time magazine had it on its cover issue like 15 years ago. The very simple point that the food we eat, the environment where we live in, will influence how our genes operate. And the main purpose of our genes, other than propagation and multiplication, is to restore our cells so that our cells keep functioning and getting that information into our systems. So it all boils down to what kind of food we eat, what quality of food we eat, and how it affects our microbiome, which is most of where our genetic material lies. And the bacteria therein, they have genes, they're influenced by what we eat and the environment we live in. So two things to accrue from that little introduction. One, any contamination, anything that blocks bioenergy into our cells will have very bad consequences. But number two, the promise that by eating real well and cleaning up our environments, we can find cures. I say this, Johnny, at the very beginning because often when I've talked about environmental pollution of any kind, mercury or air pollution or pesticides or heavy metals in general, plastics, dioxins, all these chemicals out there, people get this dull look in their eyes because they feel that they cannot do anything about it. And so off the bat, I say, yes, you can do a lot other than getting political because it's a political issue and cleaning up your diet, fixing your microbiome, and your ability to detoxify these chemicals once they enter the body. So having said that, we can launch into mercury. So people will have a sense of hope because it can sound pretty bad, pretty hopeless when we talk about these environmental pollution issues, and today particularly mercury. So does that make sense, Johnny?
Yeah, I'd like to read a couple of paragraphs from the World Health Organization about the effects of mercury exposure. Elemental and methyl mercury are toxic to the central and peripheral nervous system. The inhalation of mercury vapor can produce harmful effects on the nervous, digestion, and immune systems, lungs, and kidneys, and may be fatal. The inorganic salts of mercury are corrosive to the skin, eyes, and gastrointestinal tract, may induce kidney toxicity if ingested. Neurological and behavioral disorders may be observed after inhalation, ingestion, or dermal exposure of different mercury compounds. Symptoms include tremors, insomnia, memory loss, neuromuscular effects, headaches, and cognitive and motor dysfunction. Mild subclinical signs of central nervous toxicity can be seen in workers exposed to an elemental mercury level in the area of 20 UGM3 or more for several years. Kidney effects have been reported ranging from increased protein in the urine to kidney failure. And this WHO organization doesn't really look at things like vaccinations as serious. I mean, this is like just very public recognized knowledge, wouldn't you say, about the effects?
Well, excellent, Johnny. Thanks for sharing that. But my point is that the WHO statement can be taken in such a way that you think, oh my God, what are we going to do here? But if we focus on mercury interfering with bioenergy, then it all makes sense. In fact, then you can add to the WHO statement that it also affects your endocrine system. And that's a common mistake that scientists make in not integrating all this. It turns out that hormones affected also by mercury, heavy metals, and everything we do are also neurotransmitters. In fact, the most potent neurotransmitter for the brain is not serotonin or dopamine, is insulin.
Really?
Yes, there's a whole new science out there called psychoneuroimmune endocrinology. But, you know, I thought it was really cool that they put that together two decades ago. But I think we need to go beyond that. And that's why I made that statement at the beginning. So once we start thinking about energy, and we talked about energy on the show before, it all makes sense. So that's why mercury does so many bad things to you, okay? Mm-hmm. And so the vaccine portion that you talked about, let's get started with that.
That's a good place to start. But first, we're going to take a break. One of the things I think is very interesting for a business is creating a business book. Of course, this depends on the kind of business you have and if, in fact, you have an interesting story, not just about the nuts and bolts of the service or product you offer, but about your history with the business, the relationships you have developed, the art of creating your product or servicing your clients. It is also a nice record to have if you want to sell your business or pass it on to someone else. Here's a short message about this valuable tool. This is Johnny Bluestar, CEO of New Galaxy Enterprises, a media content development company. Want to write a book but don't want the challenges of developing time-consuming social media platform, costly private book promotions, complex email campaigns, and advertising commitments? If you write a book about your business, you don't need a mass audience. Focus on prospective clients with the best business card there is, your own book. To learn more about New Galaxy, see samples of our work, or talk to us about your project, please go to www.newgalaxyenterprises.com and fill out the contact form.
The Thriceborn was a book I wrote initially with a client, Carlos Lopez Avery, who as a co-author I've worked with for years and has now become a colleague and a friend. The initial topic, which went through various permutations as the project evolved, ultimately became a franchise book and film idea. At this point, the first book is a Kindle book. We also have finished the first screenplay. The entire franchise is called Pray for the Angels, and the first book is called The Thrice Born. I have worked on a number of projects like this, and I find it very exciting to work in multiple genres.
It is the 15th century. El Tesoro de Cielo, a Spanish treasure ship, sends a scouting expedition to a strange island. Golden statues surrounding them prove the enormity of their find. Suddenly, hordes of ghoulish creatures with scaly green flesh and skeletal wings descend upon them from the sky.
What do you think of this, Rufio?
These creatures are fragile, Captain. We could take them with our swords.
They seem supernatural. Who knows what powers they possess?
Fallen angels, weakened by their treason.
My God! Are you saying they're Nephilim, the devil's host?
I'm saying whatever they are, we can take them. Do any of you cowards dare join me?
Up against sharp knife-like nails and hideous fangs, the men's swords rip into slimy green flesh. Though black blood pours copiously from their half-naked bodies, creatures miraculously persist. Can the crew survive this bloody, cursed battle?
Find out more by Googling The Thrice Born, a new sci-fi supernatural novel by Carlos Lopez Avery and Johnny Bluestar. Google with the words Carlos Johnny Kendall, The Thrice Born. That's Carlos Johnny Kendall, The Thrice Born.
A lot of what we hear about matters regarding the environment we live in, the food we eat, the energy we use, and the dangers involving these things are encapsulated in political and commercial messages that often give us a false understanding of our supposed safety. Sometimes the wake-up call to a new reality comes to us in musical terms. I think of the powerful messages delivered to the American public during the Civil Rights Movement and the war in Vietnam. Zave Nathan and Bonnie Blazek have crafted us a song called Living in the Closet, which precisely describes how our thoughts and feelings are held in bondage by the forces around us until we wake up. Here is the song performed by Zave Nathan, songwriter and musician-producer.
Closet. Oh. living in the closet. Yeah, hey, we living in the closet. Hey, we're living in the closet. Yeah. Stop.
We're back on the air now with Dr. Rodier in our program, The Challenges of Mercury. We're talking about one of the most controversial challenges, the use of mercury in vaccinations.
Yes, mercury is used in vaccines as a preservative. In fact, we were told 10 years ago that that practice was going to be discontinued. Well, it was a lie. You can still find mercury in most vaccines, particularly the flu shot that everybody's getting. And this is really disturbing. We're doing this in the face of an epidemic of Alzheimer's disease, cognitive issues, depression, anxiety, and all kinds of mental disorders, as well as endocrinological disorders like diabetes and weight gain and all that. Now, I'm not blaming it all on mercury, and we've made a point about that, that whenever we talk about an issue, it's going to be multifactorial. So to always say, well, this is it, mercury, that's it, let's eliminate it and everything will be fine. No. That's why this is a hermetic show, an integrative show. But I do believe that vaccines have a lot to do with it. Now, why have we not pursued the issue? Well, you know the answer to that. You have a political show. It's all about money and politics.
Mm-hmm.
And so I disagree with docs who get really militant about this. All they do is polarize people, and then we start fighting. And we see this in our own home state, doctors suing the government to try to implement environmental issues. I've always disagreed with them. I think it's best to be conciliatory and educate people and not presume that we are going to be the leaders, but I digress. The point being that, yes, I believe we can start working on vaccines by espousing a more integrative approach, which in my mind is adopting what Japan, Scandinavian countries are doing. That is, drastically cut back on the amount of vaccines, how early we do it. Johnny, did you know that back in 1986, we were giving our children only three vaccines, and now it's up to what, 37?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Okay, and so tell me, was our health really bad in 86? Were we plagued by all kinds of infectious diseases back then? I don't think so. So why this proliferation? Our poor kids are pincushions, and is it the real reason we're having autism and all that? I think it contributes. I don't think it's the only reason. And that's an epidemic, too. We talked about how it used to be 10,000, 1 in 10,000 when I was in medical school in the early 80s. Now it's 1 in 34. And so,
well, there's a contention that even back then when I was vaccinated that the vaccinations, and I don't know if this is true or not, you tell me, had an effect on the microbiome.
Oh, absolutely.
A lot of the good bacteria were killed, and a lot of people are blaming some of the strange symptoms that they have now on that earlier situation.
Yes, but look at the microbiome. These are bacterial cells. Those cells are pretty much the same as every one of our body cells. So, of course, they're going to be affected. So that's my point at the beginning. It's all about how we incorporate energy. So anything that brings toxicity to the mechanisms of energy production in the mitochondria is going to create problems at any cell, any biologic cell, microbiome or body cells, human cells. Yes, but we truly had 1 in 10,000 people back then affected with autism. Now it's 1 in 34, so it's a matter of proportion. And so could it be that vaccinating so much more has made this number go up so dramatically?
World Health Organization report that I mentioned said that the 10 years of study of thermosol, the mercury in vaccinations had shown nothing. Now, I have an interesting article here that is looking at different distorted statements. I'm just going to read one of them because I know this is something you're an expert about. And one of the things that is said that people believe that they claim is a lie is that no published peer-reviewed studies have shown any harm from thermosol. And these are the facts that they say, and maybe you could confirm this to some extent. The published scientific literature about thermosol can be divided into two distinct sets with opposite conclusions regarding its toxicity. The first set is comprised of studies directly or indirectly supported by the pharmaceutical industry showing, quote, there is no evidence of harm, end quote, from thermosol. These studies are the ones most often quoted by the press. Most of these studies are statistical. In many cases, the data from which their conclusions are derived have been, quote, lost or unavailable or inconsistent. Significantly, the 2004 Institute of Medicine Vaccine Safety Review Committee, which defended thermosol, relied upon such statistical studies rather than the clinical evidence that the committee received. The second set is comprised of hundreds of the independent clinical and statistical studies demonstrating harm from thermosol. These studies are seldom quoted by the press. Authors of these scientific papers include chemists, biologists, physicians, and neurologists, among others. Federal grants have often funded these studies. However, in many instances, when a researcher has concluded that thermosol causes harm, the grant has been withdrawn or ended. In one case, this happened after a researcher found an autistic-like condition in developing mice given injected mercury exposures like those human babies received from the CDC's 1990s immunization schedule. Independent researchers have lost jobs, been ostracized by peers, and or have had their medical license threatened, all because they dared to declare thermosol dangerous. Is that true about these the scientific literature?
Yes. It's mixed because of money and political issues. So people will have to make up their minds like any other issue. Remember that the people that tells us that thimerosal, that's how I say it.
Oh, thimerosal. Okay.
Yeah. These are the same people who told us that lead, there was nothing wrong with lead. In fact, it was good for human cells. These are the people who told that tobacco is good for you. These are the people who said that pesticides and heavy metals in general, there's nothing wrong with them. These are the people who said that air pollution wasn't a problem. And so you do the math. Look, I'm not advocating a total elimination of vaccines. Again, at the beginning, I said that the most prudent path for now is a bit of a compromise where we go back to 1986 levels, imitate the experience of other countries, and I mentioned Japan and Scandinavian countries. France, even France, they do not have, well, they're ranked number one with Japan in health. They vaccinate a whole lot less than we do. So, you know, these are the people who poo-poo all this are the people who try to tell us that fluoride, there's nothing wrong with fluoride.
Yeah.
And so as much as we want to be scientific, we kid ourselves if we don't take into consideration that faith issues, belief issues enter into the picture, even of scientists. You know, if any scientist tells me I have no biases, I laugh. The problem is not whether you have a bias or not. The problem is, are you aware of the biases?
Right.
So that you can keep them from entering your data. And I tell you, if you start looking at who says what, you need to look at who funded the study, who they work for, et cetera, et cetera. And so then issues are seen more clearly. But you know, we got to go back to the very beginning. It's all about bioenergy. Why in the world would not people don't take into consideration that anything that interferes with the energy of production or incorporation of cells, any cell, like any toxin, will have deleterious effects? It's as simple as that. It's like, take your car, all right? Say some smart aleck shoved a pair of socks up the exhaust pipe. How is that engine going to run? You know, if you cannot eliminate all the combustion products that the combustion process generates. It's pretty simple once you start looking at those two issues, how the environment and bioenergy have so much to do with the toxicity of these chemicals that we talk about.
I'm not talking about maybe the more extreme circumstances, but is there a way of eliminating the effects, not the effects, the substances itself out of the body? Of
yes,
mercury?
Exactly. And I alluded to that at the beginning.
Right.
That is why we want to optimize our diet. When we do that, we then optimize the pathways of detoxification in the liver and in the gut. The microbiome not only absorbs energy, processes the energy we eat in food, but it also detoxifies. So the healthier the microbiome, the better you do both. Take in energy, put out toxins. Further, the microbiome tells the liver how to work. And the liver is just about the most important organ for detoxification. So that's why I always start with that premise, that let's just not get bummed out here, because the politics and the economics can be so powerful that people feel helpless. And so you can do this. You can eat well. You can get off sugar, which is toxic to the liver and the microbiome. And then you can detoxify better. Of course, there are other things you can do for mercury. Chelation, and that's a dirty word, because there are a lot of chelating doctors out there charging thousands of dollars for helping you with that, when you could buy some items over the counter and find a physician that understands the simple issues to help you along at a minimum of cost. Because EDTA and DMSA, which chelating doctors will give you in IV form or suppository form with and charge you a lot of money, you can find these molecules, EDTA and DMSA, over the counter and do it yourself under supervision. You don't want to try to get mercury out of your system without optimizing your microbiome and your liver. Think of dusting dirty rug. Well, if you're going to do that, you better open the windows and the door so that all the dust can go out. Otherwise, it just spreads all over the room. So you don't want to spread mercury all over the room or shake it loose from the tissues, especially fat tissue, unless the pathways of detoxification are operational, optimized, that is, bowel movements and how the liver works.
Well, I understand. Besides the detoxification specifically for mercury, the liver itself, there are different procedures for detoxifying the liver too.
Exactly.
Besides chelation, could you give us an idea of what that would be like?
Well, the main one already mentioned, optimizing your microbiome. So no liver detoxification should be undertaken until you've optimized the microbiome. We talked about that: fiber, prebiotic drinks, probiotics, digestive enzymes. Then the liver specifically, you can help it by increasing your levels of, for example, glutathione. Glutathione is a very potent antioxidant that we make ourselves when we eat correctly. And you can increase the levels of glutathione by a supplementation of things like alpha-lipoic acid, milk thistle, SAMe, and there are a whole lot of products out there. So, but again, you know, it's a package deal where you don't want to just take these things and not have worked on these other more basic things.
We're going to take a break now, and we'll be back in just a minute.
My company, New Galaxy Enterprises, is a California corporation specializing in the creation of media and promotional content. We are focused on original, innovative projects that are good for humanity. These projects could be nonfiction books or novels, fictional screenplays or documentary content, websites and website content, commercial advertising content for print, audio, or video products on the internet, television, or radio, musical scores for advertising, television, or film, video, audio editing, etc. We want to promote products and projects that support the environment, encourage a healthy experience in living, developing, nurturing, and useful technology, and offering platforms for positive, socially constructive entertainment or informative, transformative media. Our experience in creating a variety of products like this is rather vast, and we offer client-based and collaborative products, as well as the opportunity of active investors to join us in the creation and promotion of proprietary products, some of which are in latter stages of development. For more information, go to www.newgalaxyenterprises.com. That's www.newgalaxyenterprises.com. If you're interested in talking to us, just fill out the contact sheet and we will get back with you.
If you're not fond of books, you may be interested in watching Dr. Rodier's slide presentation on his website, hugorodier.com. That's HUGORODIER.com. It lasts 48 minutes and explains the simple roots of all diseases with pictures and graphs that are easy to understand. The presentation includes basic principles of physics, philosophy, anthropology, and history to truly integrate the most vital pillars of human health. In the course of our discussion today, we'll go a bit more into the problems with dental fillings. One of the people I most admire is a filmmaker and singer-songwriter musician named Patty Greer, whose courage and intelligence in investigating crop circles has brought the world some magnificent work. Strangely, she got into the subject of crop circles through a hunt for some kind of healing methodology, subsequent from a crippling bout with mercury fillings brought by an errant dentist whose missteps resulted in her inability to use her hands in playing the harp and other instruments and threw her off course in a promising career. You can hear her full story by visiting thresholdradio.com and visiting Show 1 and Show 2. Now here's one of her fabulous songs. It's called Hearts Don't Lie.
Did you ever just want love, but for some reason it just wasn't there? But you know what? If you give it up, it'll all come back.
Stop looking, listen to your heart, 'cause hearts don't lie, and you don't wanna be missing. This
love,
so true, let it stand there, right in front of you, but you gotta reach out,
you gotta come through, for
you.
Just be free and be true. Love me like I love you. Hold me and I hold you. Trust me and I trust you. Touch me and I touch you. Pay attention to love, 'cause hearts don't lie.
You gotta stop, look and listen to your heart, 'cause hearts don't lie, and you don't wanna be missing this love. So
love.
True.
So true.
When it's standing.
When it's standing.
Right in front of you.
Right in front of
but
you.
But you didn't reach out.
You didn't reach out.
Didn't come through.
You didn't come through.
For love.
For love.
For
love.
You.
This is Johnny Bluestar. We're back on the Integrative Hermetic Health Show with Dr. Hugo Rodier, MD. We've just discussed a few health issues, particularly with the effect of mercury on vaccinations and people. But now we're going to talk about something else. This one is about a substance which is a very interesting component of our extremely volatile financial markets, and that is the sudden rise of gold. Gold is reaching a very interesting new phase where certain countries, notably China and Russia, are looking at it as a backing for their own currency as it once was for ours. Gold recently moved towards breaching its 1,300-ounce ceiling, when it suddenly shuttled downwards by the latest job report and the friendly comments by the head of the Federal Reserve in regarding to keeping interest rates in check. Anyway, gold is a hero of economic stability, a safe haven for times when currency and other commodities go sour. But its form of extraction has had a few problems with the elements of mercury. Perhaps, Dr. Rodia, you could tell us something about that.
Well, I'm not a chemist nor a miner, but I can tell you that the byproducts of gold mining, one of them is mercury, and it winds up in our home state of Utah because a whole lot of gold mines are in Nevada. So the way the wind blows, we end up with a whole lot of mercury in our Uinta Mountains and then down in the Great Salt Lake.
Really?
And so that's one of the reasons Utah is always top one or two or three in environmental pollution is because of the mercury. Yeah. The problem is when the waters go down in the Great Salt Lake, the lake beds are caked with mercury, which then evaporates and goes into the air. Then it rains down on us. And so that might be why Utah is number one in autism.
No kidding. Really? Seriously?
No, it's that serious. Now, the most serious thing is that our present administration is fighting the EPA just about at every turn. And so now we just heard last week or the week before that our president is going to roll back the environmental regulations that have kept mercury at lower levels from since the Obama administration went after these issues. And so all those regulations are going to be rescinded. Not good for the economy. It's the rationale behind that move. And we're not going to argue that today. That we're talking about mercury. So that's how bad the problem can be.
Gee. It's just one thing after another. I think for a second I'd like to just talk about the way why this comes about in the process of doing gold mining. This is a quote from an article by Philip Zolme, Mercury Usage in Gold Mining and Why It's a Problem. Small-scale gold mining operations sometimes use mercury to separate the gold from other materials. First, mercury is mixed with materials containing gold. A mercury-gold amalgam then is formed because gold will dissolve in the mercury while other impurities will not. A mixture of gold and mercury is then heated to a temperature that will vaporize the mercury, leaving behind the gold. This process does not result in gold that is 100% pure, but it does eliminate the bulk of the impurities. The problem, and this is what you mentioned, with this method is the release of mercury vapor into the environment. Even if equipment is used to catch the vapor, some still can get into the atmosphere. Mercury can also get into the soil and water if it still is contaminating other waste products from the mining process that may be discarded. So I gather actually you're talking about the mercury substance in the air being transported by just the wind over into our state, right?
Right, and it's up in the mountains and the lakes, so our soils and water and air are contaminated. The industry will use a whole lot of these heavy metals for their processing. Like we've known for quite a while that fluoride, we first started using that to make atomic bombs.
Yeah.
And then there was a whole lot of fluoride left over.
And it just is really good for our teeth, right?
You know, a lot of people think that, but we have good studies saying that at best you reduce 0.8 cavities on average, which is nothing to sneeze at. But when we see that the same amount is seen when you use topical fluoride toothpaste, then it gives me pause that they put that in our water.
Well, there are also possible dangers with it. Is that not
absolutely
correct?
Yeah, that's my point, that we're robbing Peter to pay Paul. But, you know, it's just terrible when people are taking fluoride with one hand and eating tons of sugar with the other. That's your basic problem. So if you want to avoid cavities, quit sugar, especially soda pop.
Yeah. Well, anyway. So you have this. Okay, so now we're going to, so we see a real danger. Nobody fishes in the Great Salt Lake, right?
No.
But in general, this mercury can and has gotten into a lot of the water areas in our country, in the world, correct?
Exactly.
And because of that, one important type of food substance has been drastically affected, and it has an effect on human beings, and that's fish. Don't you, exactly. As a nutritionist, integrative physician, You do recommend fish as a very good food in terms of other animal products. It has kind of has a very important place if you do eat animal products.
Yes. Yeah, I do recommend fish, and good studies have shown that the cost-benefit analysis, that is, considering everything you said, we still have fish on the scale where it is a benefit despite the cost and the problems. You know, before I tell you more about this fish issue, we've got to realize that every food we come up with will have an issue. And it's so sad to see some people become very fanatic about this and they will eliminate a whole lot of foods. And we just have to be a little more conciliatory and take the good with the bad. I mean, what can you do? So we could come up with bad things about just about any food. And mm-hmm. so that's why I discourage people from eliminating entire food groups without some realistic discussion as to the consequences and the cost-benefit analysis. I will say, though, that it is very well proven that if we are vegetarians and avoid processed foods, that is the best diet. The vegetarian story is quite compelling. The best book about that is the China Study, but it's a bit dated because it did not talk about fish at all, all right? And I still think that fish, you come out ahead. But you've got to consider what the EPA said about this issue about 20 years ago, and I think it was a very good statement. The EPA said, don't ever eat fish more than twice a week, salmon only once a week, and never, never shark fish, mackerel, tuna, and one is escaping me, there's four, swordfish. Okay, why? Because those fish are predatory fish, they eat other fish, so they're more loaded with mercury.
Right, they magnify the mercury in the fish, exactly. Even though they eat the smaller fish.
Right. Then salmon, why only once a month? Because it's so fatty, and so fat accumulates more toxins even in the human body. So obese people carry more toxins in their fat, stored in the fat. And then lastly, any fish twice a week, I think it's pretty sound advice for many reasons.
Is this for the is this connected to the mercury?
Yes, that's why the EPA came up with those guidelines.
Well, what if you have you're dealing with fish that haven't been taken that, you know, haven't been absorbing mercury?
Well, but all fish has absorbed mercury. That's the point.
Oh, really?
So that's why we want to limit.
Don't they just sometimes talk about wild caught fish and so forth? And I thought they were supposed to be better.
It is. That's why you can eat it twice a week. But look.
Oh, I see.
Is there organic, truly 100% organic food in this world? No, because how you keep air pollution and water pollution to enter your organic farms. Having said that, I highly recommend organic food, but to think that toxins do not spread throughout the planet, that's not realistic. So, like I said, all foods have an issue. We just have to be wise about it and not become hysterical about the problems and eliminate entire food groups. Also, it's not fun or social. You know, we're social animals. To become hysterical about any food can have social consequences and health consequences. So I try to be more conciliatory about issues.
I see. Well, I think that we've seen that this substance, mercury, is definitely a problem. We've also seen that to some extent we can get rid of some of the mercury that's in our bodies in a fairly natural way. We can also make food choices that are of value in what we select to consume or where we select to live, in fact, right?
Right. Then we also need to talk, if we have time, about dental amalgams.
Oh, yes. Let's bring that up.
Well, it's not so much of an issue because dentists are turning to non-mercury amalgams like porcelain and all that. But it's interesting how the ADA, way back, kept telling us that there was nothing wrong with their mercury amalgams despite the literature. Now, quietly, they've done away with them without admitting that they were wrong. Having said that, the issue, and most of our listeners are middle-aged people like you and I. And so let me just give you my example because I think a whole lot of people can learn from it. I got my amalgams as a teenager because I didn't know how to eat right. And the minute I started paying for my own food, my own college, my own everything, I figured, hey, I'm not going to spend another dime on dentists. I'll just eat real well. Brush my teeth and floss. So I haven't had a cavity since I was a teenager.
Wow.
So I ended up with these amalgams put in in the 60s and 70s. Any amalgam, any filling will not last more than 20 years. So about 20, 30 years ago, or in my 40s, I took out all the bad stuff and put in porcelain. Now, I think anyone listening can go to a dentist and say, look, my cavities, my fillings are really old. I need to take them out. Don't even say mercury. You know, again, you know, I've learned in my old age that you get further ahead with honey than vinegar.
Okay.
So just tell the dentist, look, I've had these things in for over 20 years. They kind of hurt when I chew. Would you take them out? Okay. And then you'll notice that the dentist wears a mask and has an air extraction machine in the room. Really? Why? Because they know they're being exposed to mercury.
Oh, really?
Exactly. So it's quietly the issue went away. So, but I still bring it up because we got a lot of middle-aged listeners who no doubt wonder about their mercury fillings.
That's really interesting. What would be the symptoms that you'd have if you had mercury fillings?
Well, each bite you take will release a bit of mercury into the system, which then you swallow. And the symptoms can be quite insidious. In its worst form, you read them at the beginning. A lot of neurologic signs and symptoms, even depression, anxiety, cognitive impairment are the most common, memory issues. Even high blood pressure has been associated with mercury. In fact, my brother, a dentist, and he always fought me tooth and nail that there was nothing wrong with mercury. Well, when he finally was diagnosed with high blood pressure, he finally listened, got rid of mercury, chelated a little bit, his blood pressure dropped like a rock.
Really?
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah, that's pretty good. Well, I want to thank you for today because that was a good way to end, right? That there is some hope for us. And we'll be back next week. Do you want to give any information out about contact information and so forth?
Sure. The best way is to get on the web, hugorodier.com, and they'll find my phone number and newsletters and blogs there in slide presentations so that they can get into these issues a little more in depth.
Terrific. Well, thank you, and we'll be in touch next week.
All right. Thank you, Johnny.
Okay. Thanks for visiting us today. We will go out with a song by the multi-talented UK singer-songwriter Stephanie Slevin with a song called Gifted, a tribute to one of the great pioneers of the blues in the United States. For more information about Dr. Rodier's practice, books, blogs, and newsletters, contact Hugo Rodier, MD, at www.hugorodier.com. That's HUGORODIER.com.
They say you're gifted. You must have got your gifts from the devil. Your lyrics uplifted because they're on the new level. Look to the left, look to the right. There's a devil on my shoulder, or is he hiding from sight? Gifted, you must have made a pact with the devil. Your lyrics uplifted, could I not have got them from heaven? What's wrong with you? Can't you see my gifts are from God? whiskey. Your gifts from the devil. Your lyrics uplifted because they're on a new level. What's wrong with you? I've waited so long. My gifts are from God, and my name is Robert Johnson.
Shining sea.